In Sarah Treem's new play, When We Were Young and Unafraid, Cherry Jones plays a former nurse who runs a bed and breakfast on an island in Washington State that doubles as a shelter for battered women, and Zoe Kazan plays one of the women who seek refuge there. It's running until August 10th at the Manhattan Theater Club Stage 1. I'm very pleased to welcome the playwright along with the play's two stars to our show today. And in cases of Zoe and Cherry, welcome back.
Thank you.
But Sarah, this is your first time. You've written and produced some of the most acclaimed TV series of the last several years, In Treatment, also House of Cards. Should I see a connection between those shows and a play about this subject?
No. No, probably not.
What got you thinking about this?
Well, a couple things. I had been living in a brownstone in Brooklyn. And when I moved into the brownstone, I had moved in with a boyfriend to the garden floor. And the woman who owned the brownstone lived with her husband and her daughter. And then over the course of a couple years, my boyfriend moved out and the woman who owned the brownstone split with her husband.
These things happen.
Yeah. And so then it was just three women in the brownstone, me in the basement, basically, and she and her daughter living upstairs. And then she started a relationship with another woman. So then there were a lot of women in the brownstone, and she was an academic, a feminist. And so there were just a lot of sort of interesting conversations going on there at that time.
The play's action takes place in 1972, which was before you were born.
That's true.
But did you set it then because it was just before the Roe versus Wade decision?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see that as a turning point in the women's movement?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, absolutely. And the play specifically takes place in a place that's sort of out of bounds, you know, it takes place in an island off the coast of Seattle. So the idea is that the women's movement is happening, but it's happening kind of far away and they're just getting the reverberations.
Those islands are popular today, a lot more popular than they were at the time when they were just seen as remote.
Right.
It's Whidbey Island.
That's right.
Cherry, you were last seen in the acclaimed revival of The Glass Menagerie on Broadway, for which you received a Tony nomination. What drew you to this play?
Well, I mean, there is... The young daughter in this play is 16 years old, and we like to joke, Morgan Saylor and I, that we were both born in 1956, because her character is... we're the same age. So I have a perspective of 1972 as a young teenage girl, and I was very aware of what was going on around me. I became fascinated by the SLA. I became fascinated, you know, I mean, everything that was swirling around.
It was a time of a lot of revolutionary talk.
It was, but just for a little girl from Paris, Tennessee, that I knew. In large part thanks to the beginnings of NPR, just to give you a plug. I mean, I was hearing more about the world than I would have heard any other way. And I've never seen a play about this period. And I've certainly never seen an intimate play about this period.
Your character, Agnes, is a former military nurse who now runs a B&B that doubles as an underground shelter for victims of spousal abuse. When you read the role, did you feel like you knew this woman?
I didn't, because A, she can cook muffins, was a World War II nurse, has sacrificed her entire life to help others. She's very terse, tough. So I didn't feel that I knew her, but I sure felt like I wanted to get to know her.
And she's always cooking and baking.
Always cooking and baking. And to me, the key is that she is a World War II nurse who has known the horrors of the world and of Korea. She both was a vet of France and Korea.
As an actor, what's the difference between originating a character as you do here and playing one of the most well-known roles in American theater, like Amanda Wingfield?
Well, I don't think there's a difference. When we were building Glass Menagerie, we weren't building it a certain way to make it different or to make it. We were just doing, as all artists do, their own version. And it's the same way with the new play. One shouldn't feel limited in either experience.
On the other hand, somebody else who's going to be playing this part later is going to be compared to Cherry Jones. Well, it was pretty good, but it wasn't Cherry Jones. Zoe, you play Marianne, a young woman who finds her way to Agnes's home to escape from her husband, who's beaten her up. What kind of woman is she?
Marianne is someone who has been very defined by her circumstances. She grew up in a military family on a military base in Tacoma. She grew up with a domineering father and I think sort of escaped into a loving marriage that was changed by her husband's experiences at war, which changed him. So I think that she's someone who is going to, after the play, learn to reach beyond her circumstances. She's not aware yet of her intelligence or of her strength.
Your performance also is affected very much by great makeup. She has a black eye, which keeps on very convincing black eyes that keeps on fading over the course of the play.
Yeah, it keeps me busy backstage.
So instead of changing clothes, you have to also change black eye?
Yeah, there's something sort of ritualistic about it. It gives me a sense of ownership over the thing. You know, they have someone backstage to do our wigs, but I've been doing that part myself.
Agnes's house is outwardly a normal B&B. The battered women arrive through a trap door in the floor and use a secret knock. Sarah, were there really places like that in the 70s?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You didn't base this on a real
place. I didn't base it on real place. What I did base it on was this movement, the Jane movement in abortion, wherein women would call and ask to speak to Jane, and it was kind of a catch-all term for, you know, I need an abortion. So there were these underground abortion clinics or abortion networks that were happening.
Kind of an underground railroad.
Yeah. And I don't know if there actually were battered women shelters. What I do know, battered women shelters that operated like this. What I do know is that there weren't actual battered women shelters at that point. So I assume that when women had to leave, they had to ask people and try to get away secretly.
And Marianne tells Agnes that she was referred by Jane. Agnes has her hands full with her teenage daughter Penny, who's played by Morgan Saylor. People will recognize her from Homeland. She's an intelligent girl trying to figure out how to deal with boys. How does Marianne's arrival complicate the mother-daughter relationship?
Well, it's already at that breaking point. She's 16, and she's starting to she's highly intelligent and superb in school, but has been a bit alienated because she is a really smart young woman who survived past the age of 12 and kept her intelligence intact. Right. And she hasn't started tailoring it to how to get a boyfriend, but now she's desperate for this boy. And in comes Marianne. And
a woman who has her own problems, and yet she's giving advice.
Yeah, because she knows men. She is a worldly woman. And Penny latches onto Marianne because she also is desperate for an older sister. I don't think Agnes has a maternal bone in her body. I don't want to give things away, but it's probably she loves this child desperately, and I think the child loves her, but she's desperately needed a Marianne in her life, and lo and behold, in comes. And it's the cutest thing to see Zoe and Morgan backstage. They do the crossword puzzle on the floor every night.
They are like sisters.
They are like sisters.
Well, I have a little sister, so it's an easy, and so does Marianne. So I think a lot of women actually, I know that a lot of my friends latched on to an older female figure, you know, for advice in lieu of their mother. I think it's easier sometimes to get advice that way.
My guests are Zoe Kazan and Cherry Jones, two of the stars of Sarah Treem's play When We Were Young and Unafraid, and Sarah Treem is here as well. During the course of the play, Marianne struggles with the question of where to go next, back to her abusive husband or to her parents' house, to find a job somewhere, or perhaps find another man to take care of her. Does that pretty much represent what a woman had to choose between in those days? You think it's different today?
Oh, I absolutely think it's different today. I mean, it is different today. it was during a time when you had to have your husband co-sign a house. You had to have your parents or your husband sign an abortion, even if you had it legally at a hospital. You had to have somebody co-sign a credit card for you. I mean, that doesn't exist anymore. We have come a really long way. I don't think that all women in the 70s were in Marianne's circumstances. She's in a very special circumstance. She doesn't have an education. She doesn't have any money. She's grown up in a tiny place. But yeah, I really wanted to show that this was a woman who, you know, wasn't just weak. She doesn't have options.
Another unexpected arrival is Hannah, played by Cherise Booth, who's a militant lesbian who's come to the island looking to join a women-only community. And she asks Agnes for a job. She's also a kind of comic relief in all of the seriousness. Are you saying that some of the wilder ideas of early feminism might sound kind of silly today?
I think that a lot of the ideology that went around in the 60s and 70s does sound silly to us today. You know, and I don't think it's just feminism. I think there was a lot of racial ideology. I think there was just political ideology in general. It was a time when people believed in a collective politics. And I think we struggle with that today. We feel, I think, in our generation, like the sort of the hopes and the dreams and the more radical ideas of the 60s and 70s did not prove effective. And we're trying to figure out, I think, for people who grew up as children of that generation, you know, how to be political in a world that seems just much more cynical.
The militant lesbians call themselves the Gorgons.
It's a real.
That's a threat.
It was a real group.
It really was.
Well, yeah, Ariel Levy wrote this great article a couple years ago about this movement and where those women actually were today.
You do have one male character, Paul, played by Patch Darrah, and he's kind of a sweetie, a mild-mannered songwriter who stays at the B&B. The other men are offstage. And that was important to you to really focus on the interaction between the women when you were writing this, Sarah?
Yeah, it wasn't important to me to keep the men off stage, per se. It was just that the relationships that I was interested in were the relationships between these women.
Do you see this as a political play?
That's a really interesting question. I see it as a deeply personal play. A lot of people respond to it as a political play. And that happens pretty much in my work in general. So I think the answer that I come to is that the personal is political.
All the women in the play are trying to figure out how to live their lives in this new world. Was that something that you talked about during rehearsal, Zoe?
I think that we did talk about these people as kind of searching or journeying. I think all of their journeys are really different, though, and we didn't talk in a general way. You know, I wouldn't lump these people into the same category in any way. They're each struggling with something very personal, and actually, that's part of the point, I think, of what's happening is that there's bad communication going on because people are so enmeshed in their own problem that it's very hard for them to see what other people are dealing with.
You play the most traditional woman, I would think, in this play.
You mean with the most traditional values?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that that's one of the ways in which Marianne has been limited is that she's been taught not really to think for herself.
We're kind of running out of time, but I do want to point out that the play is scheduled to run until August 10th at the Manhattan Theater Club Stage 1 at City Center on West 55th Street. Any chance it'll be extended?
I don't know.
Where do you go from here? Sarah, you have a new Showtime series in the works?
I do.
What is it?
It's called The Affair. It'll premiere October 5th behind Homeland.
Is it about what it sounds like it's about?
Is it about an affair? Yes. Yeah. It's with Dominic West and Maura Tierney and Josh Jackson and Ruth Wilson.
Jerry, do you have another play lined up after this?
Nope.
If there's a casting director out there, do you want him to call?
Please.
Zoe, you're in an HBO series, Olive Kittredge, based on the novel by Elizabeth Strout. When will that be airing?
I don't know. I think in the fall sometime after Sarah's.
So they don't compete.
No, it's a miniseries that Frances McDormand and Richard Jenkins star in that Lisa Cholodenko made.
Wonderful book.
It is a wonderful book. This is an interesting adaptation because it only takes a few of the stories from that book. But I really think they did an excellent job.
Just one more thing. A lot of young women these days don't want to identify as feminists, even though they live their lives in ways that were made possible by the women's movement. Why do you think that is? And we have about a half a minute to deal with this complicated subject.
They don't want to identify as feminists?
Yeah, they say, well, I'm not a feminist, but...
I actually think that's changing. I think that when I was growing up, I'm 30 or a little bit older now, that was absolutely true. Now there are people like Lena Dunham out there. There are girls like Lorde who are saying really boldly, I am a feminist and I'm proud of it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I think things are getting better.
I think things are moving in both directions simultaneously. I think there's a kind of backlash that's happened. I've been shocked by how many of my peers have changed their names when they got married. But
that's true.
I also think that we have stronger leaders that are young coming forward.
Cherry, you're just smiling. we thank you all. By the way, I'd love to see In Treatment have another series, another season. Sarah Treem, Cherry Jones, Zoe Kazan, thank you all so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny.